For the cheeseheads who want it fresh and the ones who think Lambeau is a cathedral, this is Packs What She Said. Now, here's Perry Goldstein and Maggie Loney.
Packers are re-signing AJ Dillon.
Okay, let's talk about that. We have breaking news while we record.
Tom Pelissero just tweeted literally 1 minute ago, so we're going to upload this, but it's March 14th at 6:16 p.m. Eastern Time. Free agent running back AJ Dillon is expected to re-sign with the Packers pending a physical.
Okay, so there's RB2. Maybe Emmanuel Wilson's 3, and depending on the length of the contract, which it doesn't look like that's come out yet, I'll be really curious if this is 1 year, if this is 2 years, or if Josh Jacobs and AJ Dillon are going to be the guys now, because that also kind of tells you, doesn't it make it seem like the Packers want to get bigger?
Yeah.
Because I thought they'd go for a shifty, speedy kind of back to replace Jones, and now they're getting bulk on bulk. They have Josh Jacobs and AJ Dillon.
Well, I guess Emmanuel Wilson is.
I thought he was still bigger, but yeah, maybe not as big as Josh Jacobs.
Well, now we know the prototype of who they're going to look for in the draft. So I guess that really diminishes my, my hope for a Blake Corum draft pick, because then that's 3 pretty hefty running backs. But wow, shocker.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, live reaction on our podcast.
I mean, I kind of like it. I know that he was maybe not as productive as Packer fans would have liked or anticipated, but I think he's always been a very good RB2, and it's going to be a frickin' slog to try and bring down Josh Jacobs and AJ Dillon in December at Lambeau Field in the snow. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of levels to this, and you've got Josh Jacobs, who can be an explosive back, and Dillon is going to be a nice changeup, and he had some moments where he looked really good. Jordan Love adores him. They're very close, so you also can't beat his culture and locker room fit for the team either, which is huge.
You also know that he's made it pretty clear how much he's wanted to stay in Green Bay.
Yes.
I always think about, like, he married a local girl. Her family is around. Like, he's literally called the mayor of Door County. I imagine that he went out to test the market. I'm sure that we heard of Cowboys and like 2 or 3 other teams that were interested in signing
Colts,
him.
I think we're one. Texans, maybe. Yep,
exactly. So it's not to say that, like, we know that there was a market for him, but maybe staying put. We'll see what the contract is. We do not know anything about the money yet or the amount of years, but potentially staying put was a decision that meant more to him than anything else. Okay.
Breaking news. I could absolutely see him taking a very, very vet min kind of contract to be RB3.
You know what I mean? Like, for him, though, for his year, or right, where he's at his career, though, mm-hmm, right? Because this
would be his good contract that he should be looking for.
Yeah. So maybe he knows, this is me speculating now, but, you know, maybe he knows he didn't have the year that he wanted to in his contract year. And the Packers know his value. He knows what he can bring. And if he re-ups and has a really great season, mm-hmm, does a 1 to 2 year deal, right? Has a year or two of great seasons again, then he can go and get a bigger deal. Because maybe he tested the market and he wasn't getting anywhere near what he wanted, would be my guess as to what happened.
And I think it's also really telling, you know, we talked about it a little bit when we did our live, we've seen analysts reporting it all week, but the fact that the running back market has been so hot in free agency tells you all you need to know about this draft class. And there's some good names, right? I know Blake Corum's up there. People love him. Jonathan Brooks from Texas. Like, there's still fun players to find and acquire. But I think the riches are kind of few and far between as well. And I think that's why it's good to go in with reliable guys. And if AJ Dillon has a 2-year contract, you know, your rookie pick could be in like halfway through his deal at that point. So it's all just insurance. And it's an oft injured position, right? You're playing running back. You're getting hit every time you touch the ball. Like, it's good to have depth there because we saw what happened throughout the season with the wear and tear that they take on their bodies.
Right. Okay, so that's one of a few players that the Packers have brought back, actually. So another big contract. I think I want your thoughts on this because I have mine, but I want yours. The Packers brought back Keyshawn Nixon, which I was also very pleasantly surprised to see. I thought it would happen, but you never know. But they brought him back on a decent deal, right? He's done 2 1-year contracts with the Packers, and then they bring him back now on a 3-year, $18 million deal. There's some incentives that can get him back, get him up to 19.2 as a max. It was reported that he was one of their priorities, which was an interesting additive, I thought. I was, again, glad to hear that because two seasons in a row, all pro returner, just hard to find guys like that. And obviously their starting slot corner played the most snaps in the slot of anyone in the league. Slot is a tough position. It's one you and I have talked about a ton. As a potential need. I know we feel the pendulum swings on how you and I feel about Keyshawn in the slot, but regardless, having a solid slot corner and or depth cornerback to the level that Keyshawn can play is so valuable. And I think he's very deserving of this contract, but the number really shocked me. So I want your thoughts on just the whole situation.
I was surprised at first when I saw the number because I think it depends. If the Packers feel that he is their starting slot, then the number makes a ton of sense. You would pay that to any starting slot free agent that you're looking to bring in. If he's primarily a special teamer and like CB4 on your depth chart or like maybe just comes in and dime, then it feels a little bit rich, but he's also been an all-pro for you 2 seasons in a row on special teams. He's a vocal leader. He played really well in the playoffs, I thought. So depending on how Jeff Heflin like views him and wants to use him, he will only play better opposite Xavier McKinney if they bring in another linebacker. Like if he truly is going to have a home in the slot, McKinney's going to make that easier. Quay Walker should help, you know, kind of man that middle of the defense. So I like it as an insurance policy. I just am curious if they're still going to kind of bring in competition or if they feel that strongly that he is the fit there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's a lot of variables here with this, right? Like I do, to your point, think they still draft someone, but now I think it takes off so much of the pressure of a rookie or whoever else they bring, assuming it's a draft pick, starting immediately, right? Which is always better than having just like an immediate rookie start in a very difficult position to play, right? So I like it. Second variable being we have no idea the way that Jeff Heflin like wants to play him or utilize him. So like that's like a huge question mark that we're just not going to know until probably at least training camp, if not like week one. I think you make a good point is like the contract looks like a starting slot corner contract. So you can like kind of make assumptions there, but at the same time, like, you know, I don't know. And I don't know if that's really where he's best fit, but if you listen to Packaday, Andy Herman makes a really good point, which is that like, he's actually a pretty solid slot corner if you compare him to some of the guys that when you think of starting slot corners as being like the top dogs, like he's not graded that much lower than like a Trent McDuffie.